I greet you in the name of Jesus Christ. It is with great joy and anticipation that we await the glorious return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we journey in our sermon series on the theme, Joyful Anticipation, the Posture of the Church Towards the Second Coming of Christ Jesus. So far, we have covered the believer's waiting and the believer's watch. Today, we'll talk about the believer's walk, a look on the Christian sanctification in light of our Lord's return. Our focus is on 2 Peter 3 and verse 11 that says, since everything around us is going to be destroyed, what holy and godly lives you should live. The Apostle Peter addresses the issue of scoffers regarding the promised return of the Lord and then challenges his readers to holiness and godliness. Hence his rhetorical question, what manner of person are you to be? The second epistle of Peter addresses the believer's hope, conduct, and sanctification in the face of persecution and light of the return of Jesus Christ. In the third chapter, Peter speaks to the matter of the delay of the parousia, that is, the promised return of Jesus Christ, in three ways. The first, the defense against the scoffers who have smirked regarding the promised return and said, ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. That is verse 4. Peter's defense starts in verse 5. Their willful ignorance, forgetting the creation and the flood, seen in Genesis 6-8, which was God's intervention and judgment, that is, God's breaking into history to deliver God's people and destroy the world. Number two, his discourse on the cosmos as a part of divine judgment, seen in verse 10, and I read, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. Please note that there is scriptural precedence on God's judgment at the end time in both the Old Testament, Isaiah, Joel, to name a few, and the New Testament, Matthew and Revelation, to name a few. It is interesting that verse 10 can be linked to God's judgment seen in verses 6 and 7, and coupled with the reference of Genesis 9 and verse 11, that reads, thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by waters of the flood. Never again shall there be flood to destroy the earth. The destruction, therefore, will be now being made by fire. And thirdly, his dogma regarding the believer's conduct in light of the Lord's return. Our focus verse reads, since everything around us is going to be destroyed, like this, what holy and godly lives you should live. The Apostle Peter challenges his readers to holiness and godliness, and then emphasizes the same point in verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. It should be noted that a delay must be perceived in the notion of God's mercy and grace leading to salvation. Peter says, "But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." Verse 9 affirms that time is different for God than it is for humans. So any apparent postponement is a matter of perspective, divine perspective, just as Psalms 90 says. It speaks to God's sovereignty and timeline. And God's apparent tardiness, verse 10, is interpreted in terms of divine patience, which also seen in Ezekiel 33 and verse 11. "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from their way and live." Again, a call to repentance and salvation. In our text, Peter makes mention of a judgment effect on the cosmos in verse 10, and scholars analyzing 2 Peter note that the letter connects its cosmic eschatology directly to moral exaltation, suggesting that a lack of proper future hope leads to poor ethical behavior. Another puts it this way: bad eschatology leads to bad ethics. Let me read this verse again in the Amplified Version. "Since all things are to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? In the meantime, in holy behavior, that is, in a pattern of daily life that sets you apart as a believer, and in godliness, displaying profound reverence towards our awesome God." May I suggest three actions to consider, to lay hold on, to practice as posture for the appearing of our great God and Savior? 1, that we be mindful Christians. Peter points to wholesome thinking in verses 1 and 2, and I read, "I know right to you in both ways, which I stir up pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commands of us, the apostles of our Lord and Savior." The believers should always bear in mind an hence action that they are joyfully waiting for the promised return of Jesus Christ. Let this be our focus. May we always bear in mind that he's coming back. Secondly, a holy people. The notion of holiness is set apart. It speaks to that which is sacred. People who are holy devote themselves with reverence in attitude, conduct, and deed. This does not mean we are perfect on this earth, but we are devoted to Christ Jesus our King and wait for his return. 1 Peter 3 and verse 1 to 3 tells us who we are and what we must do. And I quote, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are." Verse 2. "And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. All those who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. And finally, diligent believers. The idea here is that God's people must make every effort with eagerness to remain blameless and pure. Someone said, persistent effort is fueled by eschatological hope, not self-reliance, as we wait for the appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us therefore depend wholly upon him as we wait with joyful anticipation on his soon return. In closing, may I invite you, my friends, to turn to Jesus, repenting of your sins, and receive him as Savior and Lord, remembering that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Why not do that today, my friends?